Welcome to the Basically Famous podcast, where we're taking our notoriety to the mic and no topic is off limits. I'm your host, Wendy.
And I'm your host, Spencer. Each week, we talk about life's bullshit, our hot takes, and make one of you basically famous too.
Good morning, you little sweet little love bugs.
Oh, wow. We so wanted chipper for the pod.
We wanted to start off with, not me being fake, because I'm... I feel like I'm PMS and I told Spencer, I was like,
she's spicy today.
She's feeling feisty.
That's okay.
But it's Tuesday morning for y'all and we wanted to bring a little joy because we're going to end on our little petty rant. So we needed to bring, we got to start off nice so we can end crappy. Not crappy, but.
It's not crappy. It's just rawr,
you know, like that, you know.
Everybody's got the little shit that just, you know, it just makes you irrationally mad, just pisses you off.
Yeah, for sure.
Last week, was the first week we did it. We're trying it out, you know, if you don't know. If you didn't listen to last week.
And I think it should be a thing that if there's nothing that week, we don't force it. You know, we might feel extra, like mine today, I feel a little extra spicy about. And we'll get to that later. But, you know, I might not have one for a week. And that's okay, too. I'm not going to force it because I don't want it to feel negative, Nancy. But it doesn't mean we don't like somebody. But sometimes, and listen, we might even do stuff. Like, I might do stuff that I look back next week and be like, why'd you do that? You're so stupid. You're so dumb.
Listen, last week, my petty rant was candy salads. Mm-hmm. And it really resonated with a lot of people. And yeah. So that was the confirmation I needed that this is a good segment.
Oh, well, candy salad just really chaps everyone's ass because it's stupid. Yeah, but
people still do it. And then last night I open up TikTok and the first video I see is Alex Earl and her family doing a fucking candy salad.
No, they're not.
And I said, drop dead.
Why is she doing what? Okay.
Right. That's for like, you know, millennials hanging on to their last scrap of relevancy on Instagram.
Right.
Why is Alex Earl on TikTok making candy salads?
Oh my gosh. You know what I told someone the other day, my client, and I was like, I want to say Benjamin Franklin, but Albert Einstein actually, I think is the right one. Smart.
I need you to finish this thought and then we have to come back to Benjamin Franklin.
What's it called?
I think Wendy just had a stroke.
Philosopher. Why? Oh my God. She couldn't say Wilmington earlier.
Could not say what?
Philosopher.
Oh my God.
I am going to say this and y'all are going to stay here and listen the entire time until I freaking do it. Philosopher.
There you go.
I know that word. Y'all, I swear to God, I know you've heard a podcast in the past of me saying philosophers.
I mean, I did say
philosopher.
Williamson like 42 times. So
you did. I am not kidding. That actually kind of scares me. I even had stir fry for lunch, which has broccoli, and I think that's good for your brain. Oh boy. Anyways, my allergies have been acting up. And I
give you the farts.
Philosopher.
There you go.
There she goes.
Well, that's far.
Wow. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see y'all next week. That was the hour. Okay. So
it's the hour.
It felt like it. That was bad. That's scary. So I was telling a client last week.
You got so caught up on philosopher.
And it was so good. Yeah.
Well, I can tell you about the age of the founding fathers while you try and think of it.
Well, okay.
Because I learned that recently.
So tell me really quick. Oh, they were young. I know. I
so
saw this.
Young.
Somebody did a TikTok on this. And they were, go ahead.
George Washington was the oldest at 44. Paul Revere.
Don't you remember Paul Revere? They sing about.
He was a founding father?
LFO sing about him, right?
Wait, but he wasn't a founding father. What the fuck is this? Okay. Here we go. Ages of the Founding Fathers.
If Nick Lachey is on there or Aaron Carter, this is not it.
1776. Okay. You have John Jay, who was 30.
Oh, he sounds cute.
Aaron.
Was he?
No.
He had a little Jerry curl.
The nose was really long.
Why did he always have long
nose? Long and pointy.
Okay.
And no lips. Aaron Burr was 20. Now, he was balding, but he could have been cute.
He sounds cold.
Thomas Paine, 38. John Marshall.
Not T-Pain as a founding father.
John Marshall, 20. Benjamin Rush, 30, Thomas Jefferson, 33, Alex Hamilton, 21, James Madison, 25, James Monroe, 18.
Thomas Jefferson is forever 86 in my head.
I feel like that's a lot. I don't think that, how many founding fathers were there? You guys.
If a girl could, listen, if this was women, if it was the founding females, get out of here. There would have never been that many of them. They would have been fighting and the rules would have been like scribbled out.
I feel like this is still wrong. You guys, history, not my thing.
Not my thing either. Philosopher.
I actually am going to need to just, I'm not going to delete this.
No, you're not. Because
it's funny. But this is a little embarrassing. So we're going to just move on and pretend that we didn't talk about
this. I want to talk about what I was going to say because it was really good. What were we even saying? What would jog my memory?
We were talking about Alex Earle and her candy salad.
Oh, bingo. Got it. See how quick that came? Philosopher. So Alex Earle, 90s. Okay. I told a client last week, I said, isn't it so funny that now they're trying to bring back the 90s when we lived the night? Like y'all are trying to live what we lived and we didn't even know we were living it. You cannot convince me. I used to think that the 80s were like, you know, the coolest time to live.
No, 90s. No,
the 90s. 100%. If you were born, I was born in 85. So I was old enough when the 90s hit to appreciate and be able to like do some things. Although I was young enough, like I missed the bowl cut for girls. I didn't have a bowl cut. And some people around me did. Like, if you had a bowl cut.
I
didn't have a
bowl cut, but I had the short. The bangs? No. Remember third grade? My sister gave me sideburns when she was in cosmetology school. Oh,
yeah.
That fucking bitch.
Well, that's why y'all don't talk anywhere in it. Is that it?
No, I talk to her. She's okay. Who I do talk to.
Well, if you had friends that had the bowl cut, they always were the dad in any home situation. Like, you know, when you play like home, you're like, all right, I'm the mom. That's the sister. That's the cousin. Ugh, you're the dad. Like what? I'm like, you have a bowl cut. Obviously. I really
do. For us, it was playing Grease on the playground.
Ooh.
The masculine one had to play Danny
Zuko. You're Danny. They're like, damn. Why didn't you? You had sideburns.
Not then. I didn't.
Okay.
I was pretty again then.
But isn't that crazy? Like, I forget how I said it, but we both were like, man, that's so true. It's like, they're trying to really relive. You can't. It's not you can try to reenact it, but that's exactly what you're doing. You're reenacting it. Like we had it because that's all we had and we lived and we didn't have anything else but what we did and y'all are trying to do it. Like it ain't the same. It ain't the same.
If you could have grown up in any other decade, what would it have been?
I'm torn. I either think the 80s, because I do think it was fun. I think it was boppy. Yeah, I think it was good. But I also really love something about like Scarlett O'Hara days. Like, I don't know when that was. Like the 40s or 30s. When was that?
Taking it back.
When was that? Look that up. I don't know. Look up that founding father. I would never have wanna lived in the 1800s or 1700s. No way. I need a light bulb. Do they have that for Scarlett?
Scarlett O'Hara was a fictional character.
And Gone with the Wind?
Based off of the 1936 novel Gone with the Wind. So 30s.
See, there you go. That's what I would have wanted to talk like this right here. And I would have been like, I'm going to go get my water and my hat. And that's it.
I think I really would have enjoyed the 70s.
The 70s, yeah.
Yeah, I think I would.
I'm not good with straight hair.
I would have smoked a lot of pot. I think I have. I can rock straight hair. Real long straight hair.
I love a bell bottom.
Pictures of me in high school at bell bottoms.
Yeah.
I had hair down to my ass and it was like good hair. It's not thinning like it is now. Thin.
Spencer with the good hair. Spencer with the straight hair.
Yeah.
I'm Wendy with the thin hair. Wendy with the.
My hair is just, it's crazy to me how different my hair is now compared to then.
And it only gets worse. Sorry, y'all. Cool. It only gets worse.
I'm going to start taking my colostrum. And actually, I was reading earlier about like hair oiling in
rosemary
that people do in India.
Oh.
And they literally do like scalp massage, like hour long scalp massages with oil. And I'm like,
it stimulates hair growth. And that's the thing. If you massage your scalp every night, it gets blood flowing.
I'm like, they have the most beautiful hair a lot of the times. I'm like, is this the secret?
I mean, a lot of people do those scalp brushes now because it's the stimulation of a hair growth. That's what gets your hair going.
I
do that
before I shower, but now I'm thinking I need to like do like.
A lot of people are doing like rosemary now. Oil, yeah, they were doing like.
And then do it.
This was on TikTok, you know, like of course, because, you know, people on TikTok know everything. Everybody went to cosmetology school and beauty school and makeup artist school.
She's not mad.
Hey, speaking of, you'd be proud of me. I watched, I finally found y'all. I'm going to do a whole, I am going to make a video of this. I finally found how to get my makeup for a mature skinned girl. And I did it two times this weekend. Mm-hmm. And my makeup, honey, it laid.
Okay.
It looked bomb. I'm going to need you
to share your secrets, because I very recently have accepted the fact that my skin is not 20-year-old skin anymore.
Nope.
And so my makeup techniques, because I'll be honest, I hardly ever do my makeup. I don't do my makeup for work. I just don't really do my makeup anymore. Also, my hormones are so out of whack. I get more like pimples now than I ever have before. But like, so then now it's like I have to relearn how to do my foundation, because my skin is so different.
It's so different.
My texture is different. I'm like more dry than I ever have, but then I like also still have oily spots. It's very frustrating.
It is very frustrating. And that's exactly it. That's exactly what I'm gonna talk about in the little video, because it's like, we don't have the same skin that these 20-year-old girls have that are showing us how to put 8,000 things on our face, and you just can't do it. And I finally found an order in which you can do it, and it literally looks so nice. And I'm usually very self-conscious under my eyes. I cannot stand cakey makeup under my eyes. It makes me like not even want to look people in the face, really. I mean, it just does. But I thought I had a picture. I thought I took a selfie yesterday when my makeup was laid on this face, but I guess I didn't. Anyways, I'm going to do a video because I have all the secrets and I'm not going to gatekeep those.
Wow. I can't wait.
I'm actually very excited about it, because wasn't bad. And I don't really say that about my skin anymore, but it was not bad.
Well, that's what I need. I also am using like the same products that I've used for 10 years, you know, just things that are tried and true that I love. And I feel
maybe
like
you got to switch it up.
It's either I need to change my technique or I need to change my product. I also think that I have to change my skincare routine.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like my skin is finally to a place. You guys know, if you've been listening to this show, listen to our old show, me and my skin have been on a journey.
Same. I talk about my shit melasma for like, I'm about to get a laser treatment.
Are you?
Yeah.
No, I'm so scared.
I'm not going to do the Moxie where I look like I get stung by a bee, but I may or may not be partnering with someone local and they're going to do me a little laser. And I was like, all right. Or like something. Listen, I'm all about eating healthy and like doing all the things. And fine, but I need something to burn my face off.
See,
that's where we got to have something.
Mine has been, I wrecked my skin barrier, like my skin barrier. And I'm like just now to a point where I don't just break out every time I touch it with something.
Yeah.
So, and I can finally use like even the most mild of acids would send my skin into a raging flare up that would take me a week to recover from.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm finally to a point now where I can have a routine with like some exfoliants and stuff. I would be so scared to do something like that. I want my melasma off.
Like I want a more even toned. I hate my skin. It's horrible. And
did you have your melasma before you had Fisher?
No, not like this. I've always had freckles. And so
I feel like that's different. That doesn't really count as like,
no, it's not melasma. Hyperpigmentation. But what I was going to say is like, I've always had freckles. So I've always had inconsistency on my skin, but as far as my actual skin, it's never been where my cheeks had all of the inconsistency. That was strictly, that happened at pregnancy. Cause when I look at photos and I thought my skin was horrible. No, it wasn't. It was actually very smooth. And then of course now I've wrecked it. So that's fun.
Yeah.
But let's get to that asshole moment, shall we?
Shall we? All right.
Being a little judgy. Let's get this. Let's roll that beautiful bean footage.
We didn't really have any controversial ones submitted this week, but I did pick this one. So she says, hey, ladies, I need to know, am I the asshole in this situation? My husband and I have been talking about making healthier habits with our routines, sleep, diets, et cetera, et cetera. I love cooking and giving my family nutritious food that they also will enjoy. Lately, I've been experimenting with new recipes and found a smoothie recipe which included avocado as one of the ingredients. My husband doesn't like avocado, but I decided to give it a try anyways, since all the comments on the recipe said that you really couldn't taste it. Our son loves helping in the kitchen and was excited to try the smoothie as well. I tried the smoothie and thought it was quite good. And in fact, it did not taste like avocado, which I will totally vouch for. You cannot taste avocado in smoothies.
You can barely taste avocado in guacamole. It's all the extras.
I love
avocado, truly. And remember during COVID, I remember you and I, man, we were going hard on avocado toast, mm-hmm. but we doctored it up. We put the chili flakes and the salt and pepper and a little bit of this on. But really, avocado is the creamy consistency. Like, you can't taste it. Shut up.
It's a carrier for the other flavors.
Right. It's a vessel.
Yeah.
It's a vehicle. I love that. It's a vehicle for it.
It is. But no, I fuck with avocado hard. There's something else that, what was it? Oh, it was brownies that I made.
Oh,
with avocado.
Totally.
And I didn't tell Robbie because Robbie doesn't like avocado. Put it in the brownies and he was like, oh, these are really good. And I said, there's avocado in there. Bitch.
Bam.
Which actually is very similar to this. So okay. I'll continue.
Did you write this one?
I didn't, but not me.
Robbie, did you submit this?
Robbie's pissed. That would involve Robbie agreeing to drink a smoothie, which would never happen.
Oh.
I told my son to take a little of the smoothie for my husband to try. And I playfully told him not to tell daddy that I have had avocado in it until after he tried it, as I thought he might not even give it a chance if he knew. A short moment later, my husband called my name from upstairs and asked if there was avocado in the smoothie, as our son had told him.
Damn.
And I confirmed, that little rat bastard.
That's, Fisher would have done the exact same. Kids tell everything.
He then came running down the stairs, yelling at me, saying that I had disrespected him by giving him avocado, knowing he doesn't like it, and that I'm trying to change his way of eating and forcing him to eat something he doesn't like. I didn't intend for him to be force-fed the drink if he didn't like it. I was totally okay with making him something different. I just wanted him to try it. In the past, he's been open to try things he doesn't normally eat, and sometimes he has liked it, and we've incorporated it into our regular meals, so I thought maybe this would be one of those things. I genuinely thought that I had found something that's good for him and that he could like, as it didn't have the taste of avocado, but boy, was I wrong. I don't know if he actually didn't like the taste or if it was just the fact that there was something in it he didn't like, but I cannot wrap my mind around so much anger coming from him.
Is he PMSing?
Right. So much anger coming from him and the feeling of being disrespected to the point that he would yell at me that way. I honestly had nothing but good intentions, so I was hurt by his reaction to what I intended as a loving act. I then called him ungrateful, and he became even more offended by the obvious look of hurt on my face. I then felt angry at the fact that he was claiming disrespect. So basically, we just kept getting mad at each other for different things, and it escalated, but that's a different story. I'm fully aware that some of the reactions I had afterwards and things I said were wrong, but was I really an asshole for having him try this smoothie?
No, and put poison in it next time.
Right. Fucking funny and petty.
It's stupid. Imagine going to court and getting a divorce and they're like, what happened? They're like, well, Your Honor, I put avocado. I mean, really, but like, imagine being in court and you're just like, I just put avocado in a smoothie and he got really mad at me and it escalated. And so like, I just don't think we can get past it, Your Honor. Stupid.
Really,
that's so dumb. No, you're not being an asshole. I mean, no, you're not. No, just all the way no. Who cares? You know what? You can go to freaking the smoothie place down the road or Bowie Bowls or something and you don't know everything that's in there.
No. I guarantee you the only reason he knew that there was avocado in there, well, actually, your kid told him. So your kid ratted him out.
He didn't taste.
He did not taste it.
No.
And the only way, even if your kid hadn't said anything, the only way he would have known that there was avocado in it is because of, no, like the creamy texture. Like, that's how, like, when I told Robbie that there was avocado in those brownies, that he was like, I got it. Like, it had a
moisture to it.
Yeah, it had like a fudgy texture.
Yeah.
Anyways,
that's stupid. Annoying. What's his name so we know? No, I'm just kidding. I know it's anonymous. But
so actually, you saying put poison in it reminded me of this video I saw the other day. So it was a Stitch. This guy starts saying like, how come all you women, you know, when I start dating your friend says like, if you hurt her, I'll kill you, blah, blah, blah. He's like,
because we will.
On a right. He goes, on a scale from 1 to 10, of how much I'm afraid of something, you're a one, sweetheart, or something like that. Okay, so he says this thing. So this girl stitches it, and she's like, "Hey," She was like, so yeah, like we really care about our friends and we want you to know that like we will take it seriously if you hurt her. And she starts saying, going on, she's like, I watch a lot of true crime, lots. I listen to lots of podcasts. I watch, you know, lots of Snapped at night and shows like yeah. that. And she was like, you know, and recently I learned about this woman in Italy from the 1600s. And, you know, women couldn't divorce their husbands from back then. And, you know, that just wasn't a thing. But sometimes they just really needed out. And, you know, there was a woman who made a perfume. She sold it in like pretty little bottles, except it wasn't perfume. It was poison. And like she started talking about this and she was like, you know, it was odorless and tasteless. And that's pretty impressive considering that, you know, she wasn't educated and the internet wasn't a thing. And right. she was like, the fact that she could create this poison. And so she was like a known assassin. Women would go to her for their perfume. Oh. All of a sudden, all these husbands started dropping dead and nobody really knew why.
Now we just put rat poison yeah. in it.
It was just so funny. And she was like, but, you know, maybe you should rethink your scale.
Seriously. And also because, bruh, we will do that because you're a douche. Like, don't be a douche.
Julia Tofano. I had to look it up. That was her name? That was her name. The Italian serial poisoner who became a legend.
Sounds like she makes a mean cookie. I wouldn't eat it, though.
But I'm just like, no, can you imagine? Mm-mm.
But I'm I'd be friends with her, but like, I'm not going to eat at her house.
Listen, as like crazy as men are, obviously we know most like, you know, violent crimes are committed by men. There are probably, if you had to look at men who get away with murder and women who get away murder, I guarantee you there's more women.
And men have violent crimes. Women don't have violent crimes. They kill you softly. Right. Killing me softly with her perfume. Killing me softly. I mean, but they're going to do it very delicate. They're going to be dainty about it.
Because men are reactive and, you know, ragey. And women, we're ragey, but like we can control ourselves to be calculated.
Right. Because I told Mike, like if you ever think you're going to kill me, I got some long nails. I'm going to claw your neck up. I'm going to scratch you all up because they're going to ask you first and you're going to have to tell them how you got all them scratch marks all over your face and your neck. I'm going to have your DNA all jammed up under my fingernails. You ain't getting away with nothing.
No.
Nothing.
No. All right. So speaking of calculated,
Let's take it there.
This week. Oh, my girl, Taylor.
Spencer did not answer any of my text messages. I think maybe three of them all week. Okay. Some of them were work related. Mm-hmm. Needed to hear back from her.
I got back
this
to him.
Bitch was on Instagram posting Taylor Swift. I said, I know it's your girl. I get it.
At
it's
like
your
1 a.m.
I get it's your thing. But I was like, but okay. But I will tell you, I was a little aggravated. Uh-huh. Everybody posting about it. It was getting on my freaking nerves. It's a lot. And I kept thinking to myself, because I knew we were going to talk about it and I didn't want to do you like that.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Respectful, if anything else, philosopher. But so I did listen to the Beyonce, not my thing.
Okay. Mm-mm. And I doesn't hit for me. Wouldn't be.
Yeah.
Did you have any takeaway songs that you really liked?
No, it's just not my style. Really,
not even the Miley one.
I didn't love. Love.
That's surprising. I actually love that song.
Daughters was like, I went to that one first because you were like, you're going to love it. I did not love it. But okay, so I listened to that and then I got on the Taylor thing. I was like, let me listen to Taylor. Y'all, she hits. She hits every time.
Wow, that was not where I thought you were going to go with it.
I
figured you would hate this album.
No. Mm-mm. No, I don't. And let me tell you why. Because obviously getting on and listening to, okay, so social media, we talked about this before, right? They can beat a damn dead horse. Yeah. That poor horse.
They'll bury it. They'll dig it up. They'll continue beating it.
Oh my God. It's too much. Mm-hmm. And then I get over it. Everybody, right? Because everyone has to post about it and be like quirky and Taylor Swift.
Right. Oh my God, Taylor. Listen, as a major Swiftie, I totally agree.
Oh no, I totally agree. But I would say you're more level headed with the Swift. You know how it is, but also it's okay. But I will tell you, so I was watching inevitably TikToks and social media posting about her. I love when people dissect her music.
Yes.
And I want to know the meaning behind it and then I want to go listen to the song, right?
Well, and there's, I will say with this album, and I'm not cutting you off, but letting you finish. Go. There are so many layers when you think you have dissected it. Uh-uh. There's actually more. Like, this is the red herring album. Okay, for go ahead. Sure.
But what I was going to say, so I got the list pulled up so I can do, but Daddy, I Love Him, I Love. Uh-huh. I think, so the Amy one, what is it? Thank You, Amy. Uh-huh. Okay, that is probably my favorite that I've listened to on the whole album, not just because of the drama behind it, but because, and I don't even know if this is a thing or not, so if you have gone down TikTok rabbit holes, let me know. But the old schoolness of that song with like the guitar, it brings back her old school days. Brought, is that a thing?
There were, well, maybe not for that particular song, but there are a few songs on the album where I listen to it and all I can hear is the debut. Old school.
Okay, so... yes. So when I was listening to the song, and then obviously you know the undertone of it already. Well, then I was like picking up the way that she's like carrying the song, the cadence of it, mm-hmm. the guitar. I was like, oh yeah, she's hitting there, but she's also the wording and the messaging behind it. I love that for her. Mm-hmm. And I love her burns. And then of course you see people being like, she's so petty. She's being blah, 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 whatever. I would say in a right. Okay, so I Can Do It With a Broken Heart, I love too. And then there was one other one that I was like obsessed with.
That song is sick because you hear, so what she hears in her headphones when she's, or her like ears, her in-ears or whatever they're called on stage is what is the same. It's what you hear on the background of the music.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So she knows,
to keep on beat. I'm like, that's just so smart.
I know. Well, I just feel like she is such a musical genius, and I'm not a Swiftie, but she's just so talented when it comes to that. And the Kim K one, and people are like, oh my God, she's being so petty on this album. She's like, there's so many, cause she's not like hiding a lot of her messaging. It's there. Like the messaging is pretty crystal clear. She's being very bold, but look at the last year she's had. Travis Kelce has brought out this bold side of her where she obviously truly feels the most confident I think she's ever felt, right? Mm-hmm. Like she feels that probably from a personal standpoint. Look at what she's done in her personal life. She's been the most forward. Yeah. She's been seen the most vulnerable, you know, in crowds or whatever. She's spoken the most public about relationships, stepped out in this new realm. And then this album, yes, it's been behind the scenes for a while, but you can tell she's at a place where she is feeling very, very confident in her life.
Yeah.
And you don't really have to read, like you said, there's so many layers, but you don't really have to read that far into it. You can pick up. So the words of that song in particular, I love like the burns of it because just the way she's like, basically what you did actually made me where I am. And the fact that she talks about a legacy that's never going to be able to go away.
I mean, she's like, like without what you did, like went, there's so much of what I've built that I wouldn't have done or had time to do.
She wouldn't have been driven to do it. It would have fell flat. She wouldn't needed to have done the way she had done it.
But the song, so the song Clara Bow is exactly what you're talking about. So Clara Bow, do you know any of the backstory there?
I don't know any of the backstory of any of these. So you have to tell me.
I
love to hear that. I want to know the backstory.
I actually think maybe this would be a good Patreon episode. Let's do it. Because I could talk for hours about the shit that's in this album.
Well, then say what you're going to say about Clara Bow. So, and then we'll do a Patreon.
Yeah. So Clara Bow was an actress from, I think, the 30s or 40s.
Oh my God, Scarlet days. Right. Gotcha.
So basically, she ended up, she was so famous, so good at what she was doing in order to keep her relationship. This is obviously very like, you know,
watered down,
but she basically, the only way she could keep her love, keep her relationship was she was forced to step away from what she did.
Okay.
And
her relationship with her husband,
she ended up going like nutso, and having a psychotic break. And so in the episode of Fortnite, Taylor is emulating Clara Bow.
Ah, I see.
Like the same, the eyebrows and the look and everything.
By the way, I didn't love Fortnite. That was the one with Post, right?
Big disappointment for me too. I actually like
Post. Like I know it, Posty. That was the one. That was the one with Post.
The AI version that went viral on TikTok before the album came out. I like that version. Yeah. I like that. I want to hear that as a full song.
Well, I trust you. I feel validated since you agreed. Because I was like, that didn't really, it really didn't feel like him to me. And I thought he was going to make it more of like his, like she was going to join in on his style. And it just felt boring.
I think it's going to be another, like thing with Midnights where there was the song with Lana Del Rey where people wanted more Lana.
Yeah.
And she ended up doing another version with more Lana. I think it'll be the same way with
Posty's
this.
Version.
Yes. I think it'll be more Posty.
Taylor, when you listen to this, do a Posty version, please.
I liked the music video. The music video made me like the song more than just listening to the song.
I didn't even watch it.
I love the lyrics of the song.
Okay.
The music, it just doesn't hit for me. Okay. So Clara Bow. So the song Clara Bow, it's basically in three phases, right? So Clara Bow is the comparison to her life with Joe. Too famous, too much career. Joe didn't want her to do. He didn't want her to do music. If she was gonna be, you know, save that relationship, she was going to have to step away and quit. That's the Clara Bow. The next part, she talks about being Stevie Nicks, like making that comparison, which that's the Maddie Healy. Okay, so this is, we're looking at the last 10 years of her life. She had her Joe segment.
Yeah.
Her Maddie segment was the Stevie Nicks. She could have lived a life of music and continuing to do what she does, but it would have been an unhappy life, too much partying. She would have been on drugs. Like, it wouldn't have been a healthy lifestyle for her. And then she compares herself to herself, Taylor Swift. And that's her Travis era, being her true self, finally finding a way to like make peace with her life and her career and all this other stuff. So
I love that.
That's kind of like that.
All right.
That song.
But I love that.
The, what was I going to say? Shit.
Clara Bow.
No, it wasn't about Clara Bow.
Is her sister Clarinet?
Oh, I was going to talk red herrings.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So do you remember when her website went glitchy like several months ago and everybody started freaking out? Because you couldn't go to, every time you went to her website, she did a merch drop. And then all of a sudden, nothing would come up. It would give a 3, 2, 1, and then like this red herring code.
Oh, maybe.
So there was this big glitch. So of course, you know, nothing is accidental. I think
there's been a glitch.
Wasn't a real glitch. It was intentional.
Oh, she did it. Yeah, of course she did it.
And there's a whole thing on 3, 2, 1. I mean, it's literally psychotic. Like mad scientists, like cover the room in red strings. I want to know what kind of team of people she has.
Realistically, track of Taylor everything. Swift should probably just go get a cure for cancer since they ain't releasing it. Because let's be real, we got one. She could really do some shit.
Yeah. But so I think this is the album of red herrings. Okay. We got the red herring glitch. That's her saying like this album isn't going to
be. But what's red herring? Is that a song?
No. So a red herring is.
Oh, you're just talking about in general, like a bird, like generally speaking.
Not a bird.
I thought it was a bird.
I mean, a herring is a bird, but a red herring is like
it's a sign.
It's something where I don't know what the you can look at the definition, but it's basically where you're led to believe that something is one thing when in actuality it's another. That's kind of the best way that I can think to describe what a red herring is.
Something intended to divert attention from the real problem or matter at hand and misleading a clue. Isn't that also known as gaslighting?
Sure. Well,
I'm picturing a bird on her website.
She's
and like
gaslighting the shit out of all of us. But basically, we get this thing, right? And she's giving us all this imagery and clues to lead us to believe that this is going to be the ultimate breakup album about Joe. And then it's like, jokes on us. 90% of the songs Matt Healy.
Right. Okay.
And all of us are reeling like, Matt Healy, I thought it was like a freaking blip. Well, now we know the Taylor Swift mad scientists have all gone back and uncovered that they've actually had a 10-year on again, off again thing.
Right.
She has lusted for him throughout the duration of her relationship with Joe. And it's always been this thing. I mean, she literally has a song about masturbating to him.
Does she really?
Yes. Oh, Guilty as Sin is about her thinking, imagining her life with Matt Healy. She talks about her sheets ablaze as she like, you know, all this.
Taylor.
It's highly sexual.
So spicy.
But
I also love that because, you know, Joe was waiting. He was like, I'm downloading it at midnight. Ooh. And then he's like, that's it. I got a song and a lyric.
I do think, and the songs that you can tell are definitely about him are really, I mean, heartbreakingly sad.
For sure.
But they're respectful. And I think like also, who hasn't had that like fiery short-term relationship, even though it was like a long period on off, like they didn't really give it a real go until this past summer.
That's Matt Healy's girlfriend.
Yeah. Gabriette or something like that. Yeah. She ain't it.
Gabriette Bechtel.
Is that her name? Gabriette? Did I get that right?
Yeah, I said Gabriette because her forehead big. Sorry, y'all, don't be mad. Don't just relax, okay? God.
But the but I think like there's a reason she has so much anger towards Matt Healy because it was like a fast and furious like relationship and it obviously crashed and burned in a major way. And it was like this thing that she had pined for 10 years.
Right.
And she finally got to make it happen. She talks about in one of the songs, Fresh Out of the Slammer, it's like she got out of her relationship prison and he was the first call she made. And with Joe, it's like, okay, it was this long relationship that probably fizzled out, but I think she still, no matter what happened in their relationship, she still respects him enough where she wasn't going to trash his name.
Well, that was the thing. She was not going to drag
her emotions about it.
But also, like, when I was listening to her music, I was like, I wish, and I have said this before, I really wish I could sing because I swear to God, I would have learned to play the guitar and moved to Nashville and been singer-songwriter because that's, I love like emotions and I feel like I am good with words when I'm writing things and like doing that. Like I do have that ability to do that. I know I couldn't say a word earlier, but like I could have talked about it.
It might have taken her 5 minutes to say philosopher, but
I mean, that was not normal. I can say that word. I don't know why that happened to me, but no, I think that's so amazing to be able to do that and think about like, just having the ability to sing well, obviously, sing and sing well, and be able to write your own stuff and be able to feel it, like, that would be so amazing. And what a way to, like, come full circle to the grieving period, right? Like, you're feeling it. And I love a good cry session, man. I'm going to listen to something in the car, make me cry.
So I would Long be writing London, it. Oh. I cried at two songs, So Long London, which the beginning of that, it's Big Ben. It's the bells. I mean, it's like crazy. It's so good. So that song and then The Black Dog.
I didn't hear that one.
That one caught me too.
Did it?
That was the first song on the extended part.
Okay.
The second drop.
All right. I mean, this girl, like I said, I went into it. Y'all, I was irritated this week because I was like, oh my God. Because every time you got online, and it's nobody's fault, right? Like, it's not anyone's fault because, of course, everyone's excited and sharing it. But then it's like, you see it so much, like anything. You're like, seriously, eye roll. But Swiftie or not, because I'm not a Swiftie, I can appreciate her. Like I've said, I don't not like her though. You know what I'm saying? I'm not, I don't know all the ins and outs like you do. But man, you got to appreciate homegirl's work. Like she is just insanely talented. She really is. And I really like the music on this one. Whereas like her Folklore and the other one, the, whatchamacallit, you know what I'm talking
Evermore.
About? Evermore. Mm-hmm. I don't love this. I like 1989. I like her poppy stuff or her country stuff.
That's why I
don't
figured like the, you would hate this one. Because
but
this
it has the old school feel of it.
This is like if you mixed Folklore and Evermore, but you added some of the music from like earlier days, it would be this album.
Yeah.
But this is like the most dark, depressing album.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so good.
It is good.
I will say, I think it was very interesting because admittedly, when the album dropped, I listened to the first half. I wasn't going to stay up, but I did stay up. And I couldn't help myself. I was like, I'll just like listen to like a snippet of each one.
Yeah.
No, I listened to the whole fucking thing. And then, of course, I finish it. And she's like, surprise, 2 a.m. Here's 16 more songs. And I was like,
oh my God.
Good night. I was like, I have to go to bed. But I didn't love it. The first time I listened to the first, through the first half, I was like, a lot of these. And listen, like, she's so verbose. Uh-huh. There's, you know, like 300,000 words that you got to dissect. And it is with Taylor's music, it is mostly about the lyrics.
Oh, 100%.
So, like, yes, we want a bop, we want a good song, but it's, you really got to like dive into the language.
But and that's
so,
why the TikToks, when people, that's why I was telling you, that's what hooks me as a, as a average person that doesn't hate Taylor, but that's not super hardcore. Watching a video on like social, like TikTok or whatever, and or you telling me, oh my God, girl, no, it's da, 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 whatever.
Right.
That hooks me to where I go listen and it hits different every time.
And that's why,
but that's the point.
And I felt the same way listening through Midnights, but not to the same extent as listening through this one the first time. I was like, it's not really catching me, but there's so much that I have to like actually dive into and like look at the words as I'm listening to it to really like digest it.
Yeah.
now that I've been able to go back and do that, I'm like,
that's good.
Totally different reaction, which is the same way I felt with a lot of the songs on Midnights. I lost where I was going with that. The first time I listened through, it was that. And then, damn, I lost it. I forgot what I was going to say. Doesn't really matter.
But either way.
But the back to the whole red herring thing.
Yeah. The bird.
So people are also guessing. They think that the Thank You, Amy song is also a red herring. That we're being led to believe that it's about Kim, right? She's making it blatantly obvious by, you know, the capitalization and all this. But that it's actually a red herring and the song is about... I've seen a theory that it's actually about Carly Kloss. Which does not make sense to me. I've also seen a theory that it's about Dumois, which I think is a much more appropriate theory if it is a red herring. But I don't know. I saw a tweet and someone was like, Taylor said, Joe and Matt, these are your tapes, but here's a stray bullet for you too, Kim.
Same. I saw that and I was like,
that's hilarious. And that's actually how it feels. But
yeah.
The whole point of the album is it's an emotional purge.
Yeah.
She's basically saying, I'm ready to tie up
loose ends and all the other feelings.
This long period of my life, everything you know about Taylor Swift up until this point, I'm ready to put a pretty bow on it and tuck it away. These aren't my stories anymore. They're yours. Take them. Enjoy them. This was like her last emotional purge so she can truly start a new chapter of her life and do different things.
Y'all, catch her coming out next time with some damn boppy, some like poppy album because she's so in love. What?
I know what I was going to say.
What?
But I agree. I think, a lot of people are theorizing that this is her retirement.
Okay, I did see that.
I don't think that's the case. She has said she could never step away from music. I could see it as her stepping away herself and only moving into writing, producing.
That's what I think. I don't think she's ever going to fully step away because I feel like words and feelings and emotions and how she does it, she's so talented. I think that's her thing.
She could never move
away. But as far as touring, I mean, Homegirl went hard touring. Yeah. And I feel like, also, how does she memorize all these songs? like, what?
Crazy.
Can't even.
I don't think that she'll retire. I think that when she comes back, something will be different. I think once we get Reputation and debut Taylor's version, I don't think we're going to get any new music from her for a long time. And she's going to live her life. She's going to get married. I think she's going to start a family. I think she's going to do all these things that have been deferred because of her career.
Right.
And her wasted youth with Joe.
She should just come out with the next album. And then it's got like one track and it's like, I'm done. Yeah. But sing it in all the different eras. Yeah. Sing it to the music of each era and be like, all right, that's it. That's a wrap.
Did you ever hear the AI version of her song, her like the prank AI song about Travis that somebody made for TikTok?
I don't think so.
Oh my God, it was so funny. It was like, my Travi made it to the big game. Like, it was so cheesy.
Hilarious.
The Alchemy, it's that. I was listening to the song and I was like, ooh, I was like, this feels so similar to that.
Is the one about the high school? Is that
So High School is about him?
That's what I thought.
And then... So is The Alchemy. But The Alchemy, I was like, oh no, this is like that AI version. It's so funny.
Okay.
Very cheesy. Somebody said Travis has Taylor writing like she's Hillary Duff in the back of a convertible. And I was like, that's so true.
But that's what I'm saying. I think her next
drop is going to be,
and that'll be cool though. Like, I hope she goes back to like, I feel like the innocence that she came out with and her love for music really shows. Not saying that she's not happy now. She's had to grow through it, though. She's been through a lot of stuff. Some of her albums have reflected that. But I think she'll still release something more along the lines of her beginning stuff where she was truly, like, naive and innocent. And, like, it was more, like, yellow. Like, poppy and, like, fun and kind of like the 1989 stuff. Like, where it was a little bit more upbeat and she was, like, in this different mindset. Because, like you said, she's emotionally now purged everything out. She's... mourned, she's done her thing, she's written it, she's putting it out there, she's moved on.
Well, that's what people have been like, the critics of this album are like, I wanted something more like 1989. I'm like, but she's not in that place in her life. That's not the purpose of this album. This album has not followed any formula that she has ever done of anything. And like the whole album is, she said it, these stories are not mine. This is an emotional mm-hmm. purge, you know, yeah. so on. But what I was starting to say before about I was going through the albums, I went back and I looked at the songs that I immediately felt connected to and really loved uh-huh. and the songs that I was like, meh. All the songs I was meh on are Jack Antonoff songs. The Aaron Dessner songs are the ones that I love. And that makes sense because he did so much of the Evermore and Folklore albums too, which are my favorite. And I was like, oh, damn. I was like, I feel like she's kind of got to drop Jack. It's the same old shit. The songs that all kind of sounded the same. Because I was talking to Bree about it and Bree was like, yeah, I listened to some of the songs. And I was like, they all kind of sound alike.
Did he do the post one?
He did. The majority of the first part of the album
gotcha.
Are mostly Jack Antonoff, because when I listened to the second half, I was like, finally, these are the songs that I was looking for. These are the songs I love. And then I started looking at who was writing them. And I was like, this makes so much sense.
Yeah.
The majority of the first half is her and Jack Antonoff. The majority of the second half is her and Aaron Dessner. I was like, oh, yep, that tracks.
Why did her and Matt Healy not work out?
Nobody really knew, like, at the time. It sounded like he just was his same old self, drunk and on drugs.
Being a hot mess, yeah.
Being a disaster. Like, he's telling her he's changed and, you know, all this stuff, and he's, you know, going to be the man that she wants, and he's making her all these promises. She talks about him, like, you know, putting fake rings on her hand and, you know, all this stuff, and just obviously none of that was going to be able to come to fruition because he's a hot fucking mess.
A loser.
And I'm like, okay, maybe I wasn't like a Tumblr girly, but people are I did not know who the 1975 was before all these rumors started coming out that they were dating. And I was like, who the fuck is the 1975? And like, why does everybody know who they are?
What is the 1975?
That's his band. Right. You don't know either.
No.
That makes me feel better. I'm like, I
thought that was his nickname for
and
that.
I was like into like scene kids stuff. And I had no idea.
Oh, I'm not, so.
Yeah, no. I was like, oh, okay, so he's like a thing. Halsey dated him for a long time. Mm. She wrote an entire album about him called Badlands.
Oh.
Do you remember her song, Colors? His eyes. Dun, 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 dun. Hold on. I think you'll know it as soon as I play
it. I'm sure I will.
Give me a sec. I'll play like 2 seconds.
I like Halsey's too. I mean, I like Halsey too.
But apparently, yeah, so her album Badlands is apparently...
Wow.
All about him.
He gets around, gets around, gets the...
Yeah. Yeah, so that song is about him. And then I guess he wrote a song about her in reverse that was basically like, your mind is weird. Like, so, like, she's like... She wrote an entire album about how he's like this mad genius and all but like tragic and all these things. And he's like, yeah, she's weird.
But like, that's also the ultimate mic drop.
Okay.
Somebody writes all this about you and you're like, this is why we broke up.
Yeah, like I'm not
what are you doing?
Like I'm not into this.
Right.
Whatever stuck this is. That.
Oh no.
Oh my gosh. Okay, well, that's all that funny. I will bore you guys with the Taylor talk, but I do want to get into all the nitty gritty on Patreon.
Yeah, I need you to tell me the nitty gritty because I want to know.
There was something else that I thought that we should talk about today, and I don't remember what it was now. It's so annoying.
It was something social media related.
No, it wasn't. Maybe it'll come to me. We decided that we're going to call the last segment of the show the Petty Rant of the Week. Our Petty Rants.
100%.
So what is your petty rant of the week?
Okay. So this past week I was talking to a client about just like generally speaking, this is not just on social media. This could be people in our real lives too. Okay. So, and if this is your thing, this is not geared to you. So don't get your panties in a wad because it's going to piss some of y'all off.
I think when we make our little intro music for this, we need to have like the disclaimer.
For sure. Because this is not directed to anybody.
Don't be a narcissist. It's not about you.
It's not about you. But I was thinking and talking to somebody, and it's really sad to me that we live in a time now that people do so much plastic surgery to their faces and to their bodies. And the and people's argument back is, well, that's what makes me happy. You do you, sis, do you. When did it become okay that that's what makes you happy? Why is that why you're doing it? Why are you not just happy gracefully aging? Why does it have to make you happy to have a perfect face and no wrinkle? As I was talking about getting laser, whatever. See, I ain't even talking about me. I'm just saying, yes, you should absolutely do things that make you happy. And it, truly, like if you want a bigger lip, get a bigger lip. If you want, it's just so sad that we live in a world, and it does make me pissed. It really does make me mad that like we're raising, not me, but people are raising children in this world of like, oh, well, that's what makes you happy, girl. Yeah, you go off, girl. But why should that make you happy? It'll temporarily make you happy. And then are you gonna be unhappy in 6 months? I just think it's such a terrible, toxic mindset for people to like feel like get your face all sucked and nipped and tucked and all the things because that's what makes me happy.
Yeah. I mean, I do think that like it's sad if that is the only thing that's contributing to somebody's self-worth. But I also think the comments that you're saying, it's like, that's just people's way of being supportive versus judgmental, I guess. So I don't really have...
But it's deep. That's my exact point. It's deeper than that. So people that get facelifts and stuff, why?
Because they don't like the way they look.
Okay. And yeah. That is my point. People don't want to age. They don't want to have a wrinkle. And I'm not saying don't get Botox. Go get freaking Botox. Whatever you want to do. I get Botox.
Yeah.
Not obviously in a long time because my face is crazy. But like at the end of the day, the argument for people is exactly that.
Yeah.
They're unhappy with themselves because they're not perfect. Their skin is falling. Their lips are not as full. Their hair is not as thick. They're da 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 da. And maybe it's because I do work in the beauty industry and we talk about it a lot. You know, I talk a lot about, oh, this is changing. And it is hard watching yourself get older. It really is. But at the same time, and maybe it's because my dad's birthday was the other day. And it's like, he was so robbed of a long life. He died at 56. Yeah. It makes me think about that. And it's like, it's such a shame that we live in a society that we feel like we have to get a facelift or our eyes done or our lips done to be happy. Cause that's what makes me happy.
Yeah.
Cause I want to do it. It's like, I get it, but like, is that really attainable long-term? And is that really going to give you happiness when you look at yourself in the mirror? Why are you laughing? What?
I'm not laughing. Oh. I'm just laughing at the juxtaposition of what our rants are going to be.
Oh my God. I cannot wait. But you know what I'm saying. Okay. Mm-hmm. But I mean that it just, I hate it. I really do. And I think it's important to take care of yourself and all that. But I also mostly, maybe it's because I'm poor and I can't do it. Maybe it's,
that'll do it.
Maybe that's, no, I'm just kidding. Honestly, no, because I have fear of going under anesthesia. That's why I don't have a boob job. It's not because I'm too afraid and it's not worth, truly, it's not worth it. It's like, okay, cool. Then I would get fake boobs and then what? Like, guess what? My ass is still going to be flat and wrinkly and my neck's still going to be wrinkly. I just think it's so stupid. I really do. I think it's dumb. I think we all need to like chill and be happy. And also if y'all are all getting facelifts and I'm not, I'm gonna look old as hell. Like later.
And that's why she's like,
and now I'm mad at you about it. No, but also, no offense, but also like it don't look that good when you get older. Like it just don't look that good. Cause let me tell you something. Spoiler alert, filler does not fully go away. It still migrates. Like if you look at someone's profile picture, like the side of their face, a profile, eventually their lips go from their under their nose to their chin. Like it's a whole, it just looks like a big old hot dog.
It's true. You're not wrong.
I saw a meme that said, in 40 years, this is what people are going to look like. And it was like old women, huge boobs, like a hot dog on their lips, but then all their faces look like a leather handbag. Well,
have you seen the pictures recently of Lisa Rinna?
Mm-mm.
Lisa Rinna, look up a photo of her recently.
Yeah.
She put so much filler in her cheeks. She looks like a freak. She looks shiny, like her skin is stretched to its capacity. It's crazy.
Because this is the thing. Oh God. Oh my God. Come on now, ma'am. Marc Jacobs.
Oh, that's not even bad. I'm telling you.
That is bad.
Well, I mean that.
I know what I mean. But like at the end of the day, you're not gonna stop aging yourself. And I think that's really the biggest thing. It's like if we all slow our roll. I'm not saying don't do anything. My God, go get free. Like I'm still gonna get Botox, but because that's just kind of like prolonging the inevitable, right? Like you're relaxing your muscle a little bit, but I try to keep it modest. But like, I don't know. I sound like a hypocrite. I know. I can read the room. But.
Oh, here we go.
All right. Let me see this. Absolutely not. She looks like a boy band member.
Is that not insane?
Let me see this. No. What? Why? Why?
Insane. I want to, at some point, doctors have to say no. Injectionists have to say no.
Her nose is even collapsing on the sides. Because
that's what I'm saying. Like, at what point do you say, I can't, in good conscience, do make this you look to like your that. Face? Mm-mm. And I love her.
I know
this you is a sickness.
But I think that's part of it is people don't cut it off, right? Like you, this is the thing. As you're adding filler to your lips, they don't just go in and get lips like that. So you add filler to your lips, it keeps them stretched out, right? So over time, as we age, we lose elasticity and collagen. So it naturally starts to shrink. So as you're adding filler, you have to keep adding more because it's got to keep it stretched out to where it was. Well, as you're doing that, like I said, filler migrates. So your spread is still spreading over and over. So if you look at your people that you love and adore and think they look great, there was probably a sweet spot that they did look great, and then it keeps escalating to where it's that she didn't go in one day and get that all done overnight. No, it's because it's over time. It's not, things aren't shrinking. Yeah. If you stop plumping it so much, as your body naturally loses elasticity and the collagen, it still stays relatively tight until it doesn't. Now, if you're stretching it out as you're also losing, you're having one extreme to the other, mm-hmm. and then you have to keep getting more to keep it stretched out. Exhibit A. And she looks like the inside of a butthole. I don't know why that comes to mind, but she kind of looks like a hemorrhoid. That's how I feel like she looks. But all that to say, if that's your thing, you guys, you do you, girl. You go be happy. I'm just saying, I hate that that's where we're at in society. And it does kind of make me bitter a little bit. I'm going to go get Botox, though.
Yeah.
I'm just prolonging it. And my face still moves. Like, you can still see I'm like,
not me about to make an appointment to get my lips done. I'm getting,
hey, do you, girl? And honestly, I do feel like that. It's not even like I'm like, you shouldn't do that. Like, don't do that, whatever. I just hate it as a whole that that's where we're at, that people have to do that and the argument behind it. And you prove my point and I didn't even know it. Like, it truly is like just sad, you know, that we just live in a world of like perfection. And I'm guilty of it. We look at perfection. It's the same rant I went on a couple years ago about filters. And you look at yourself through a filter on Instagram for so long, then you look at yourself in the mirror with your front facing camera and get a little jump scare. But the reality is, that's what you look like. That's what we see you as. That's exactly what you look like. And you're just looking at yourself through a filter. Well, that's not reality. It's bad for you. It's bad for your mental health. Anyways, what's your petty rant?
My petty rant is I really hate when you bend over to pick something up and you miss it on your first attempt.
And have to bend over again. No, it isn't. Is that really it?
Swear to God. That's why I was laughing. You went on this long,
oh my God.
This long deep purge.
So deep.
And I'm like, I hate when I have to bend over twice.
That's aggravating. You know what? I put that up there with peeing in a romper. That's an aggravating ass task too.
Or when I walk by a drawer and my jeans get caught on it, the belt loop gets caught on the handle and I like get yanked.
When I tell you.
That makes me irrationally mad also.
My ring got caught and busted my blood vessel 2 weeks ago on my drawer. Oh. Fisher was like about to cry. It looked so disgusting. I guess it's recovered now because she's a young, healthy ox. But that is funny. It is aggravating. I get it. I feel you.
I was like, wow.
I felt like Taylor would have tapped in emotionally to you, but I guess not. You don't have any emotions left. You freaking listened to the Taylor Swift album. I get it. Giving you a freebie for that.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Amy. Bye.
Just kidding. We're back because you thought that I was done. I'm not, because we've been sitting here talking for a while and I have a new petty moment.
Uh-oh.
A petty rant.
Petty rant.
My petty rant. I hate that Kristen Cavallari calls Mark Montana on her podcast. It really chaps my ass. And Wendy said, no, it's cute. They have a nickname. It. But it really irritates the piss out of me. And that's all.
Wait, no, that's not all. I'm tagging. I'm piggybacking. Have you never seen the meme that's like, oh, me and my girls, we're going to give you a nickname. And it's like, oh, tall boots broke your heart, no, whatever.
A nickname blah, blah, blah. Is one thing. Calling him Montana is fucking dumb.
That's a nickname.
But that's not what, no, a nickname is like, when nobody knows their name, right? Or just you and your girls know who you're talking about for the nickname. This is literally on a public platform. No, she's calling him Montana. No, listen, we don't have to agree. I obviously didn't agree with your plastic surgery rant. Stop. But I'm just saying, the fact that she calls him Montana when everyone knows who he is and what his name is stupid.
It's a nickname. Oh my God. Did your family have a nickname for you? My parents just call me Winnie Pooh. And my mom still does. You will still hear my mama say that. And people know who I am.
Right.
I mean, not like that. She's not
calling him Montana to his face.
She probably...
That's your family calling you that to your face.
Well, she might in a group, like as a joke. Like she might.
Ain't no way.
She might.
She might say it. And if she does, I think it's stupid. All right. That's it.
Okay. All right. That's on that.
We're going to agree to disagree.
All right.
Bye.
Wait. All right. Well, you know what pisses me off is the boys with the Z.
Oh, hate it.
That's stupid. Now that's stupid.
Hate it. We can agree on that one.
All right. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Basically Famous, available on YouTube and anywhere you can listen to podcasts. We'd love for you to subscribe, rate us 5 stars, and leave us some words of affirmation. And don't forget to call or text the hotline at 919-867-6776 for your chance to be basically famous.
XOXO.